Saying Cheerio to genetically modified ingredients in Cheerios. From APM, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. I want to have another look at what happened on the first trading day of the new year, yesterday, when the Dow fell 135.8%, although it did open higher this morning. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David.
First of all, look at you, brave professional, made it in on a snowy day.
Yeah, it's one of the nice things about living in the city. The subways are underground, so didn't make too much difference to my commute, but it's a lot of fun.
Now, we're getting a little spoiled here as the last year came to an end with these ever-increasing stock prices, and then when they fell a little bit yesterday, it captured people's attention.
It did, and you know, partly it did because there's all kinds of superstitions about the first trading day of the year, but I think things are going to turn out okay.
Superstitions aside, what do you think happened yesterday? It was odd.
You know, it was very interesting. One of the things that surprised me about stocks being down is that the dollar was up, and it was up a lot. And what that means is that investors around the world were reallocating capital from their markets into our markets, and a lot of it coming out of emerging markets in particular. The Turkish lira hit a new low against the dollar yesterday, for example. But I think what we were seeing was simply repositioning by funds. You know, many of them have percentage allocations that are supposed to be in stocks, supposed to be in bonds. In the fourth quarter, stocks were up, and they were up a lot. Bonds sold off, and that means now they have to reposition. They've got to sell some of those equity gains and put them in the bond market. I think that's probably done now, and I wouldn't be surprised if all that foreign money in the U.S. starts to push equities back up again.
Chris Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Soon you'll be able to buy a box of Cheerios that'll have the label GMO-free. General Mills says it'll use corn and sugar that has not been genetically modified. And it's a big step, a huge company and a venerable brand making that switch, Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Companies that use genetically modified ingredients maintain they're safe, and the federal government has no problem with them. But some Americans are wary. Julie Caswell is an economist at the University of Massachusetts.
They can shop for organic products that are GMO-free, but this is an expansion of that GMO-free market.
General Mills says it's responding to what consumers want. Alberto Alemano is a food policy expert at NYU Law School, and he says there's a reason the company picked Cheerios instead of Chex or Wheaties.
Cheerios contains oats. Oats is not a GM crop, so it is pretty clear that they have targeted this product because it's going to be easier for them to deliver.
In the U.S., most packaged foods contain ingredients that are genetically modified. Recently, Whole Foods announced it's going to stop selling Chobani Greek yogurt because the company uses milk that's not organic. Chobani says there just isn't enough organic milk available to meet consumer demand. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
There's news this morning that Chrysler sales finished the year up 9%, the best annual showing in 6 years. Truck sales last month were up 15%, Jeep up 34%. Yesterday, Fiat of Italy bought the share of Chrysler that it didn't already own for more than $4 billion. Fiat stock is down about 2% in Italy right now. Want to see Marketplace live? You can enter to win a chance to join us at the Norse Theater in San Francisco on January 28th as we discuss the new era of philanthropy. Details and rules at marketplace.org/trip. From time to time, we invite our quizmaster, Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of The Globalist, to do his best to stump us with his dastardly questions in the interest of better understanding the world. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, David. I'm here to renew your confidence and to electrify our audience.
All right. So what's the question then? What do you get this time?
The question is, what percentage of electricity is generated currently by renewable sources? And which country performs best? So is it the United States, A, B, Germany, C, Canada, or D, Brazil?
All right. Actually, I know that Brazil has made major strides using biofuels. I'm going to say Brazil.
The answer is correct. It's for the wrong reasons in some sense, but they have major hydropower. about 82% of all Brazilian electricity is generated by renewables. And the bonus question is, which among the countries that I mentioned, the ones that are left, U.S., Germany, or Canada, is doing the most dramatic progress in terms of catching up and trying to really get a lot of the modern new renewable sources into the electricity supply?
How about our sustainable friends, Germany?
That's one issue where they're doing very well. In the year 2000, they only had 6% renewables share. Now it's 25%. So the United States, which currently has only 13%, has a good opportunity to do better. And in this politically convoluted world of Washington that stops everything, you know why there is a real chance for the U.S. to advance?
Why would you argue that?
Because the two states that are doing the most in this direction are California and Texas, that otherwise agree on nothing, and it's all a fight to get the utilities down to embrace new technologies, and then the United States can be more of a leader in this race to cleaner energy and reducing CO2 emissions.
You can follow Stefan on Twitter at The Globalist. Stefan Richter, thank you.
I'm glad that I electrified you.
And all the votes are tallied in Madagascar's first presidential election since a local disc jockey seized power in the island nation in 2009. The winner and next president is a former Madagascar finance minister by the name of Eri Martial Rakuto Arimanana Rajao Narimampianina. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.